And welcome back to Lounge With Books. I'm Sophie.
And I'm Claire.
Now, you've probably noticed the audio is slightly different, and that's because obviously we're doing this remotely because we are back to a second lockdown with schools being closed. I think we went in on Monday for our inset day. I stupidly didn't grab any books because I was like under the impression we'd be back on Tuesday. But we just weren't, were we, Claire?
No, well, we sort of saw that tweet that Scotland was going into a national lockdown and we were like, oh, okay. And then there was that announcement that was going to happen from Boris. And I, last minute, I did pick up some books because I was like, oh, maybe I'll take a load home with me. So I did pick up a few books. But I think we're going to get invited in to support anyway, aren't we? Like we did last
time. Yeah, at some point. I imagine. Yeah. So I was like, oh, I'll pick up my books then. But I also thought, what a great opportunity to read some of my books that have, you know, I've been bought for Christmas and stuff that have just been sat there getting dusty.
Exactly. We're never short of books, are we? So we've gone into lockdown again. So the library is closed again. Obviously, a bit disappointed because we were planning our reading week, which was going to be next week, and we've had to postpone that, which is really disappointing. We've postponed it for a lot later in the year, hoping that things are going to settle down, but you just don't know, do you?
I mean, it's just been a year of things being pushed back. Like,
yeah,
you're expected to plan all the time and get things ready, but then those plans can never actually happen. And I feel like schools, they're meant to be very consistent. You know, young people like consistency, and it's just been hard for them with the exams and everything's kind of been out of sorts for them.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing about our library is we have actually kept everything online as we've been back as well, though, haven't we? Because obviously there's been limited access for the year groups. So everything has still been put in online. You know, so we've been quite proactive with making sure that going into a second lockdown, we haven't got to put anything in place. The only problem is kids can't borrow the books.
I mean, that's what I was going to say. In regards to like the two lockdowns, a lot of people have said that they feel a lot more confident in this one with how to like teach and, you know, deliver resources because we've already had that online presence.
Yeah, exactly. I think, yeah, I get the impression that everybody seems fairly settled with it. I mean, I think there's a few teething problems with Teams, but we don't have classes to do we? So ours is just generally, you know, keeping in touch with the students that we're aware of and making sure there's resources available for the students and the staff and just tinkering around and finding things really, aren't we?
Yeah. I mean, you're quite strongly against kind of like ebooks. Like, you're not, I wouldn't, obviously not like strongly like, oh, I hate them, but you've never really wanted to have them in the library. Has your thoughts changed going into the second lockdown?
Well, I mean, we haven't put any ebooks into the library. I do wonder whether it's going to have to be the way forward, but there's nothing nicer than opening a book. And I still think it's worrying. I think it's very worrying for school libraries to have to go down that route because where's your service when you're doing ebooks? Mm. You know, you would start to lose face-to-face contact with some kids because they would just get everything online. And the beauty of having the library is kids coming into the library, looking at the books, talking to you and, you know, borrowing.
Yeah. I also think like ebooks are quite expensive, aren't they? You know, when it comes to loaning.
Yeah, they are. They are very expensive. I mean, I know when I looked into it with Brown's books, some of them were like, you know, £10-12 each. And it's a lot of money. And I'm not sure if you get them for a length of time as well, you know. It's
well, I think on one you looked at it, you only had like so many loans on that book that you'd bought electronically and then it kind of just disappeared. It's not like, oh, this book costs £5 and then we've got it for like life.
No, exactly. Yeah, and that's the problem with it. And I just didn't end up venturing into it and just hope that everything would kind of come back to normal and the kids would come back to the library and start borrowing books again, which it's been a slow uptake with years 8 and above. But I think we were gradually building our custom again. And now we've been thrown back into this second lockdown, which is going to cause that problem again, isn't it? But we've been continuing our services. I sent out an LL Online, which is our newspaper, kind of online newspaper that I send out each month. So that's gone out this week, just telling them about the new displays that are in the library and how to access Eclipse, how to access Britannica School, which is our new resource we've brought into. Just bits and pieces like that. Our reading relay has started, which is our reading challenge, and at least they can access the quizzes online through Wakelet, which is great. So there's plenty for the kids to be getting on with anyway. And they are quite busy with their lessons. They're doing like a normal school day, aren't they?
Yeah. So other librarians, let us know your thoughts. Have you ventured down the ebook route? Can you suggest anything? Are you of the same opinion as us? Let us know how you are continuing to support your students online. But it's been Christmas. We've read a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done a few books, haven't we? So I think when we went into the Christmas break, I was reading Wolf Children by Paul Dowsell. I think I'd just finished Simon Green's Heartbreak Boys, which was great. So Wolf Children by Paul Dowsell, it's set in war-torn Berlin post-World War II. So basically Hitler's regime has been overturned and the Russians are kind of in control of the city. And the book is based around these five children that live together in this unused hospital. Otto and Helene are 16, and they kind of, I would say they're like, they run the five children, if you get like, they're like the ones that they both, everybody looks up to. And then you've got Eric and Klaus, who are twins, and they are into finding bombs and exploding them, which backfires on them, but I won't say any more. And then there's also Ulrich, who is Otto's brother. Ulrich was very big into the Hitler Youth and agreed with all their sort of ideas and things like that. And he was very much like, you know, the Germans will take over and be back on top again. And so he was a little bit sort of going off the rails, and he ended up befriending a Gestapo criminal called Ernest and got into a bit of trouble with him. But it's a really good story. I really liked it. It was quite gritty and, you know, quite sad, and but it had a good storyline. It's just how they sort of are dealing with it and growing up and things happen and, yeah.
Well, last time we were speaking on the podcast, I was reading You Should See Me in a Crown by Leah Johnson, and I actually finished that one and I enjoyed it. As the book went on, it actually got like engaging, like I was struggling to put it down because you wanted to know what was going to happen next. And if you've watched The Prom, which is a musical, it's also now a film on Netflix. If you've watched that, it was very similar in ways to that, because it's very focused around this prom. And so is that musical and film. So I really enjoyed it. It was a very good book. And then I started Seven Ghosts by Chris Priestley, because this was in our book trust box. And it's a Barrington Stoke, so it's only 135 pages. And it's so good. I read it, obviously, quite quickly because it's a short book. And even though as soon as I started reading it, I kind of knew what the ending was. So the twist for me wasn't really a twist, because I saw it coming. I don't think the students will. But when you've read quite a lot and seen a lot of movies, you know, it was easy to guess. But regardless of knowing how it ended when I started the book, I still absolutely loved it. like he just, you're going around like this haunted house and there's this woman and she's kind of telling you the story of these seven ghosts that live in the house.
Right.
So like the book is just like a little compendium of like short stories of how these ghosts came to be. And as you go on, the stories get more and more harrowing.
And, oh my goodness.
There's this really scary, not, actually no, I would say it's really scary because I was thinking about it late at night and I was like, ooh, it's quite scary. But I'm a bit of a scaredy cat. But they're just really, really good. Really good short ghost stories that packed a punch and each one felt unique in its own right. And I can see why the kids love his stories. It was absolutely brilliant.
Whenever you give one of those to the kids, you know, if they've forgotten their reading book or something, they absolutely love it, don't they? And they end up borrowing it.
Yeah. So now I'm quite interested to read, you know, Flesh and Blood or Still Water, because they're obviously kind of like ghost stories as well, yeah. Like horror stories. But it was fantastic.
Does this one have a creepy front as well? Because these other ones have a creepy front, don't they?
Yes and no. Like throughout, because he's an illustrator as well. So throughout the book, there's these really kind of creepy illustrations of all the ghosts, which is obviously I'm going to use them on the display. But the front cover's not too scary.
Yeah.
It's just great. It's just great because a lot of the ghost stories, there's a bit of, I don't know, sorcery in them or magic, but he never really explains like where that's come from because it's just part of the ghost story, like the allure of it.
Ooh.
That's so great. I just absolutely loved it.
Okay. So my next one is Daisy on the Outer Line by Ross Sayers. So I'm a pretty big fan of Ross Sayers now because I've really enjoyed Sunny and Me. So we bought this one. It is a senior fiction, I would say, really years 9 and above, maybe 10 and above. But I loved it. It's more Scottish dialects, but I felt like I didn't struggle to read it this time. It flowed really easily and I got into the story and I couldn't put it down, basically. I don't know whether you've seen the film About Time, which it's quite a soppy film, but it's about a character that can keep going back in time and trying to change things to try and make it better. It's got that kind of feel to it, but there's no romance. It's just gritty Glaswegian humour with a sprinkle of emotion, basically. Daisy, who is the main character, she's pretty unlikable. What happens at the beginning is she misses her stepdad's funeral. She ends up going to the wake, the after bit, and turns up with this date that she's just kind of, that she got off Tinder, turned up at the pub, her mum's there, and she has to do this speech about her stepdad, who she doesn't particularly like or has had anything to do with. And it's just a speech that makes you cringe. You're just like, oh my God, stop now, because you're just offending everybody. And oh yeah, it's just awful. And she ends up then on a bit of a night out and she ends up pretty intoxicated and in the tube. And she's missed the last tube, but this character kind of comes out who like works at the tube station and she's called Yotta. And she says, oh no, there's another train coming. And she gets on this train and basically she falls asleep. She gets woken up in the morning and she's gone back in time. And this Yotta character basically wants her to try and save somebody. And I won't say too much. And it's really, really good. I loved it. Ross Sayers has quite a following. On Twitter, you know, people love his books, but I can understand why. I'm quite taken with it. It was great.
The final book I've not actually finished this one yet. I think I've got about 50 pages to go and it's really just like going crazy at the moment. I don't know how I put it down last night, but I'm reading the second book of the Truly Devious series, which is called The Vanishing Stair by Maureen Johnson. And it's like a thriller crime book, there's this girl that wants to be a young detective. She's trying to solve this case from like the 1930s. This is obviously set in the first book. So she's at this school called Ellingham Academy trying to solve this cold case.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, someone gets murdered there. So she starts trying to solve that case as well. And in the second book, that follows on. She's still trying to solve both cases.
Oh, right. But, okay.
But yeah, I know, right? But both cases have like new developments happen in them. And because of those new developments, you meet like new characters and different things start happening. It's really good, actually. I thought to myself, how could you drag this out any longer without it getting boring? But she's managed to keep me engaged.
Oh, okay.
It's like watching like a really long episode of Midsummer Murders or something. You know?
Yeah, you really like the second book isn't as big either, is it?
Well, you say that, but it's kind of like, you know, when you get those free Bibles. And you think, oh, yeah. The Bible's a really small book, but then the pages are really thin.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's kind of like that. So it looks smaller, but actually there's a lot of pages in it.
Oh, dear.
But it's really good. I'm really enjoying it. Like I say, it's really heated up. She's found quite a lot of new clues in the chapter that I've just read. So I'm like, but there are another two books to this series, one that's just been released this year.
Oh, okay.
So I'll be interested to see where it goes.
Where it's like going.
If we continue on with the same cases or if new ones evolve.
So I've just finished Don't You Want Me by Richard Easter, which is actually an adult novel. So, yeah, I won't say too much about it. It's an adult crime novel set in 1981. It was really good. I read it and bought it because it makes a lot of references to music in 1981 and life in 1981. It's when Charles and Di got married and all sorts of things. And there was quite a lot of riots going on and quite a lot of, you know, things happening. There was a lot of racist stuff going on around that time as well. And it's just about a character called Anna, who is a detective inspector, and she's trying to solve this case. It's a bit of a serial killer case about somebody who's killing people and then leaving blue charcoal messages. So it was really good, really gripping. I thought I'd guessed who it was and I hadn't. So it was in twists and turns, lots of linking. You have a little bit of sympathy with the killer, but it's still wrong what the killer was doing. But it was a really good book.
One you'd recommend to parents, librarians?
Yeah, I mean, kids would probably enjoy it, but it wasn't what I would call a complicated read. But yeah, you're looking at year 10s and above. I'd probably put it in the library, but make it senior fiction. There's a little bit of swearing going on in it. It's a bit more adult, but it was quite easy to read. Quite gripping.
I mean, I love that about thriller books in general. I always find, like, as you get older, thriller books are really good for people that don't necessarily like reading because they're so snappy and they keep you hooked and you want to know what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And this, you know, had quite a few pages. It was 363 pages. So, and I've read it, read it in like a week, just over a week. So, you know, I've definitely not been wanting to put it down. And then I've just started The Castle of Tangled Magic by Sophie Anderson. I did buy that one because we possibly might be speaking to Sophie Anderson, but I don't know anything about the story yet. It's going to be quite fairy tale-y, set in Prussia, around Prussia, I think.
Well, we'll be back for another podcast, not next week, but the following week. Mm-hmm. Who knows what will have changed by then. I'm sure we'll have loads to talk about in the political climate, the online climate, more books to talk about. Mine will probably be more adult books because I'll be running out of YA. Can you believe it? Please get in touch with us on the Twitter as well. Let us know how you're doing, thoughts, and if you've read these books and also enjoyed them. It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.